Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today's gospel, our Lord shares with us in very few words, the heart really of what our faith is all about. We'll open our reflection with an illustration which hopefully won't be too much off of the beaten path, it might be. When I was reading the gospel, it reminded me of an old movie that I had seen, a movie, Madame Curie, from the 1940s. The stars were Greer Garson and Walter Pidgeon. They did a number of movies together in the 40s, the best of which was probably a war movie, Mrs. Miniver. So if you watch any of those movies, say a prayer for them. Anyway, Madame Curie was based on the true story of the physicist Marie Curie and her husband Pierre. They discovered the chemical element radium. They did that at the end of the 19th century. I know virtually nothing about the physical sciences, so what I'll share with you is based on what the movie says. As a scientist in Paris, Marie had decided to investigate an element known as pitchblende ore and how there seemed to be an unknown power in that element which emitted rays from it. She did an analysis of the pitchblende and was able to identify all of the elements in it except 1/1000th of 1%, what she called an other extraneous matter, because she couldn't figure out what it was. She thought that the unknown element that she would call radium was in that 1/1000th of 1%. And so her and her husband, they got a lab. They bought 8 tons of pitchblende ore. They brought it to the lab in Paris, and through the process of melting the ore and boiling it and all sorts of other things, they extracted all the elements out of the pitchblende ore except 2 of them, barium and radium. And it took them about 2 years to do that. And then it took another 2 years to separate the barium from the radium through a process called crystallization, which meant that they would basically evaporate all the liquids until only the crystals were left. And then they would do that process over and over again and in hundreds of small evaporating bowls until they finally got down to just 1 evaporating bowl. And then with that last bowl, once the liquid was evaporated, all that would be left was that element that they were looking for, the radium. And so they waited, and finally, you know, the liquid was all gone, and they looked into the bowl and they saw nothing. There was nothing there. The only thing that they saw was a small dark stain within the bowl. You know, there were no crystals, no grains, no nothing. So after 4 years, they basically thought that their experiment had failed. And then in the movie, you see Marie lying in her bed, and she's questioning what could have gone wrong until she realized that, well, you know, perhaps that little stain itself was the radium. So she gets up with her husband, she goes at night into the lab, and through the window of the lab, they see a light radiating out of that small evaporating bowl. And she was right, that little dark stain in the bowl was radium. It was the new element, which was alive and active and dynamic. It wasn't inert, like all the other known elements at the time. So again, they went from 8 tons of pitchblende ore to a little stain in a small evaporating bowl to find this new element. And in the movie, as Marie and Pierre enter the dark lab, they huddle around the little evaporating bowl with the radium in it, and there's a light that shines up from the bowl, and it actually illuminates their faces. It looks like, you know, some of those Baroque paintings that we see of our Lord, his birth in Bethlehem in the manger, where he's lighting up the faces of Mary and Joseph and also the other shepherds there. It's actually a very beautiful scene in the movie, actually. So you ask, well, Father, what does all that have to do with the gospel, right? Well, in the gospel, a lawyer, meaning a scholar of the law of Moses, actually came to Jesus and he asked him, he said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Matthew 22:36. The Mosaic Law was the first 5 books of the Old Testament. So if you ever looked at the Old Testament, I'm sure some of you have read it, you know that those 5 books are quite long. And within those 5 books, there are 613 laws, which were all considered parts of the law of Moses. So it's like that 8 tons of pitchblende ore. There's a heap of laws, and the question is, well, what? How do you distill all of them? How do you actually get to the core of the laws? What's the most important? Jesus, in the gospel today, immediately pulls out the radium, if you want to keep the analogy going. He says that the most important law, the law which illuminates all the other laws, is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. So there are just a few things we want to note in that response. The first is, of all of God's commandments, the most important one is something positive. It's not something negative, right? So sometimes when we think of the commandments of God, people will say that, you know, the commandments of God are don't do this, don't do that, you can't do this, you can't go here, you can't go there, you have to refrain from this and that. We have to remember, first of all, that God gave us the commandments to protect us. Why did he give us the commandments? To actually protect us, not to hinder us. They're actually meant to protect us from sin, which is what really harms us. And again, the most important commandment is a positive. It's to love. It's to love God with all your heart, meaning all your will. To love God with all your soul, meaning with your entire life. And with all your mind, meaning with your intellect. And then tied to that, of course, to love your neighbor. Just like the illustration of the radium giving off light in the darkness and lighting the faces of Marie and Pierre, her husband, the commandment of love is really what gives light to all the other commandments. Make love your aim, says the apostle St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 14:1. Well, why? Well, because without it, St. Paul says, without love I gain nothing, I am nothing, says the apostle, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 2 and 3. Again, so the most important commandment of God is a positive. It's do something. It's love. It's not a negative. It's not you can't do this or you can't do that. It's love God with all that you have and with all that you are. Second point to make regarding Jesus' response to the lawyer is that the commandment of love was not unknown to the Jews. They knew about this. In fact, it was probably the most well-known of all the commandments. It's found in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. It's called the Shema. It was called that because the first word of it is from the Hebrew. It's Shema. Hear, Shema. Hear with your ears. Hear, Shema, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. The Jews would actually repeat that prayer three times a day. They would repeat it in the morning. They would repeat it at noon and also at night. Might sound familiar to us. We actually pray the Angelus now, right? We pray the Angelus in the morning, at noon, and in the evening at 6. That practice is actually rooted here in the Old Testament in the recitation of the Shema. In the Didache, which was a Christian writing in the first century, they says that the Our Father in there, the Our Father prayer, which our Lord taught, had actually replaced the prayer of the Shema for the first Christians. The first Christians would pray the Our Father in the morning, at noon, and in the evening, because they saw the Our Father as the fulfillment of the Jewish Shema. Now we pray the Angelus, we pray the Annunciation to Mary of the arrival of the Savior. It's actually beautiful when you understand some of the history of the practices that we have. The Jews in Jesus's time even had at their entrance to their house, there was a little metal box on the doorpost, which they would touch, and they would kiss it as they entered into their homes. That little metal box contained what? It contained the prayer of the Shema. It actually contained a piece of papyrus on which was written those words from Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is seen, for example, in the movie Ben-Hur. For those of you who have seen that movie, when he goes into his house, you'll see him touching the doorpost and kissing his hand. He's actually kissing the little metal box with the Shema in it. He's venerating the Shema. So the verse that Jesus shares as the most important commandment was considered the creed of the Jewish people. It was the greatest commandment of the law, of the Torah, because it spelled out the highest obligation that each person had. The Shema is a love which is demanding, which requires commitment and faithfulness and perseverance, not simply affection or emotional sentiment. You know, a love which is based on emotion easily fades away, especially those of us who are older probably know that a little bit better than those who are younger. A love which is based on emotion can easily fade away, but a love which is based on commitment doesn't fade away. It's agape love. It's love which seeks, which is faithful and seeks the good, the highest good for the one it loves. The next point, the third point that we'll mention, that we'll make, is that of the second commandment, the love of neighbor. It's actually intrinsically tied to the first, to the love of God. The Apostle St. Paul says in his first, St. John says in his first New Testament letter, he talks a lot about the love of neighbor. He says, for example, 1 John 4, verse 20, he says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his neighbor, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen, says the Apostle. And we've shared this before from St. Catherine of Siena. She highlights this point a lot as well in her writing. She says that the good or the evil that we do to God is done through our neighbor. Our Lord said through St. Catherine in her dialogue, for example, in chapter 6, our Lord said, every virtue of yours and every vice is put into action by means of your neighbors. In love, you ought to help them spiritually with prayer and counsel and assist them spiritually and materially in their need, at least with your goodwill, if you have nothing else, said the Lord through St. Catherine. So at least with your goodwill, if you can't help materially. So by not helping our neighbors, by not loving them, by not being merciful towards them in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, we're actually harming ourselves when we do that. We're actually harming ourselves. The second to last point that we'll make, and this touches in a special way for those of us who are consecrated to Our Lady, is that just like the love of God and the love of neighbor cannot be separated, so too neither can Jesus and Mary be separated, right? You can't love the one and not love the other or ignore the other, to borrow from our Lord. Love the Lord your God means love Jesus with all your mind and heart and soul. Why? Because Jesus is God. Love your neighbor as yourself means, first of all, means to love Our Lady as the first of our neighbors, right? As the best of our neighbors. So wonderful a neighbor that she's even our spiritual mother. In Isaiah chapter 7, the Old Testament, when the prophet prophesied that God would give a sign to King Ahaz of his protection, in verse 14, Isaiah famously said, he said, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The church has always understood that prophecy to be fulfilled with the coming of Jesus, the coming of the Messiah. But notice that the sign that God promised, it's not one thing, it's two people together. If you actually notice that, the sign, it's not just one person. The sign is the virgin and the child. I actually got into a fight with my Bible professor in school over that. He said, the sign is the son. I said, wait a minute, if you read the text, it says the sign is the virgin and the child. He didn't like that too much, but I did well on the test. Praise be God. So just as God is one God, right? He's one God, as the Shema says. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Just as God is one God, but three persons, so too the sign of the Emmanuel is one sign, but it's two persons. It's the virgin and the child. And so too the commandment of love is one, but it applies to those two realities. It applies to God and to those in the world, to those around us, to our neighbor. The last point that we'll make regarding love is that love is not whatever you make it out to be or whatever you want it to be. As we've already mentioned, we've said it before, true love is doing what is good for the one you love. It's willing the good for the other person. Anything I do which causes me or the other person to sin is not loving. That's not love. If I'm in a relationship with another person, I'm causing that person to break God's commandments, I'm not loving them, and I'm not loving myself either. In a society like ours, which confuses lust and passion for love, we need to be careful not to fall into the lie that says I can define love however I want to, because God is love, says the apostle, 1 John 4:8, and true love is a reflection of him and of his nature. Anything that deviates from that is not love. So in conclusion, the commandment of love is what illuminates all of the Christian life, just like that little stain of radium illuminated the dark night in that lab of Marie and Pierre Curie. Without charity, without love, life makes no sense, and the Christian life makes no sense as well. So may Our Lady grant us the grace, well, one, to not hate anyone, because hatred of other people is not from God, it's actually satanic. And may she also grant us the grace to love her and her son more and more, and to love those, to do good to those whom we find difficult to love. Remember again, love is a positive action, and love is a choice, the choice to will the good, to do the good to someone else, whether I feel like it or not. Feelings come and go. We know love, true love, perseveres until the end. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Et Jesus.